Well, good morning. It's just about time here to start, and we have a chance here to share together announcements. Looks like Bob's got a couple there.
Well, just to keep you updated again, when we talk about snow cancelings and so forth like that, anybody that has any doubts or anything, we'll try to have you an answer by 8 o'clock on the Saturday evening before Sunday service. If you have any doubt or anything, please call there. Are you announcing about the flyers, Deb?
No.
Anybody that has flyers in the window and are here today that have already promised to take one or have your name on it, please do so today, because as of now, we're starting to keep the heat back a little further, and it might do a little damage to the flyer, so I don't know. But do that. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Any other announcements?
Okay, I'm going to take this off because I know if you're like Ralph, you can't hear with the mask on. I'll try not to affect anybody because I don't think I'm dirty, but who knows? Because I feel wonderful. Don't forget, next Sunday's the last Sunday for food bank. Okay, so bring your cans of soup. If you want to make a monetary donation, that's fine. If you want to do it by check, I ask that you please make a check to the Thurmont Food Bank, okay? Next, Jerry has had the surgery. He's doing wonderful. But you know what? I think it would be nice if us as brothers and sisters would collect a love offering. Next week, I will have a little box. You can put your love offering in. If you want to do, let's take a vote as to how you want to do this. Do you want me to just collect the money and collect any checks and give it to him, or would you like us to collect everything, give it to Carol, and let her write one check? How do you feel about that? A show of hands that we just collect whatever and give to him. Okay, a show of hands of, did you see that, Pastor Tracy, how many?
I did count. Did
okay,
see that
show
again?
Of hands of if we just collect and give to him.
Bob doesn't. So that's a good majority.
Okay, all right. So you just bring your love offerings in. I'll have a little rectangle box back there that says Love the Journey. Put your love offering in that, and we'll give it to him. Okay? If you write out a check, make out the check to Jerry. I understand that Tracy Moats has set up an account for him.
I have the letter here to read.
Okay. All right. I'll step on your toes then. Okay, and I think that's all I need then.
So, in connection with that, a good friend of Jerry's has set up an account here to help in this time. And she put out this letter. I just wanted to read this letter. It says, "Dear family and friends of Jerry Free, if you know Jerry well or get to spend time with him, you're aware that he is one of the most loving and generous people who you have ever met. He volunteers tirelessly and will do anything he can to help others. Even though Jerry has needed both knees replaced for quite some time, he's never let the pain stop him or even slow him down. Jerry will finally be getting some relief. He's scheduled to have his right knee replaced on January 21st, which he did, and he's doing well. And then his left knee will be replaced on February the 18th. We all now have the opportunity to help Jerry. If you would like to offer assistance to him in any way during his recovery, I know it will be sincerely appreciated. I'm also sure Jerry would love to hear from you. Since he will be unable to work and return to work until at least the beginning of March and has no paid sick leave, keeping up with living expenses is going to be difficult. In order to help Jerry financially, I have set up an account at PNC Bank in Thurmont where cash, no checks, the donations can be deposited. Any amount you donate will be put towards keeping Jerry's bill current and covering any unexpected medical expenses until he recovers and can return to work. Cash can be deposited into the account number, and I'll post this back to the bulletin board then, at PNC Bank in Thurmont. Checks will need to be sent directly to Jerry. We have also set him up a Venmo account, and if you would like to donate that way. Thank you in advance for your consideration and generosity. I know Jerry will be so grateful for all the support." And it's signed Tracy Moats, and I have her phone number on here as well. And I'll post this on the back there, bulletin board. And along with Tracy is Susan Crone. It's also giving assistance to join this. They have done their research. They looked into setting up the GoFundMe page, and that takes a little bit of funds away from the account to pay for that page. So they decided to go this route with the bank account at Thermont PNC Bank. So if you're interested, please avail yourself to that. And thanks to Deb, who will be bringing in a box next week so that we can all give collectively together to help Jerry. So, Ben, yes?
We have the butchering is coming up February 19th. The ladies need to think about, do we want to have a bake sale like we normally have? Of course, it all depends upon whether they still have the butchering or not, and we can't handle on account of the vet virus. So, but be thinking about that, and we'll decide next Sunday, maybe, you know, if we want to do the bake sale or just...
Well, I think they're having a meeting in February. That's on my side. I'm sure they are.
Okay.
The last bid, or I'm not sure if they're
having. Okay. So, it would be based upon whether they have it or not, and whether you really want to do that.
Well, personally, I think we should, because, you know, fundraising is very limited with this situation.
Okay.
Any other announcements? All right. And do you have a payment?
Yes.
Okay. Then we're going to do our music today here on the screen. And so all the songs today you'll be able to sing along as the words will be up here on the screen. So let's prepare our hearts for worship as we hear this prelude.
Shall obey my will, peace be Oh, master, the terror is over. The elements sweetly rest. Earth, sun, and the calm lake is nearer. And heaven's within my breast. Linger, oh, blessed Redeemer. Leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the woods harbor. And rest on the blissful shore.
Call to worship today comes from Psalms 34, 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let us do that by turning to our hymn here, and we're going to share it together in song. Please join me in standing.
Thank you.
pray to me, please. Father God, we give you thanks and praise as we enter into your house this day. We've come to worship you, and so Holy Spirit, come and help us to do that. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth. We give you praise for all your many blessings to us, spiritually and physically, and we ask, Lord, that you might move in this hour. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, we've taken care of some housekeeping business already, but we also want to take time to pray together. So what is on your heart as you would like for us to think about as we go to prayer?
I want to continue Ricky and Jenny and Alan.
Bob?
I'd like to remember, of course, Jerry. You done made mention of that, but he's doing well, and we're just pleased that your prayers have worked. So did the rightful hands of the servants. We're praised in that very blessed. Keep in mind, our son Larry Free, he's still taking his radiation treatments, but he's doing well, and thanks for the good weather to get to the University of Maryland and back every day. Also, I want to remember Doris and Kathy back here with their situations that they have with their health issues. Each and every one of you here today, we all have things that don't work right. I don't know, sometimes they make you wonder about the warranty on these old bodies, but only God can carry that. And it's always good to see you and have you with us, Tracy. You're blessed.
I keep getting a phone calls about my car warranty, so I wish that we'd have a human warranty as well.
My sister Irene.
And Frank, not to miss you.
I think Tom, not to mention himself, we need to keep him in our prayers too. Yeah. As well as my neighbor Joe Moser, his parents, and them was part of our church for a long, long, long time. And he's been having some medical issues. He's been suffering with dementia for quite a while, and now he's starting to have some physical issues with that.
And also, I talked to Dolores Wolf yesterday. She did come through her surgery as well. She has a scar across her forehead here with the skin cancer they took off. The doctor thought he'd got to do it all and look good. And she said, I look like Frankenstein, so I won't be in church tomorrow.
And you remember Ralph, too, with
the house that had been submitted. There's your doctor. Ralph, then, okay. And any others? We know there's a lot of sickness right now. Our hospitals are full, and so we want to continue to remember those who are sick. They might get well. Any others? Let's come to the Lord in prayer. And as we do so, we invite you to kneel or remain seated with your head bowed. God, we thank you that in your word you crown the year with your goodness and your past rich with abundance. And we recall your many blessings to us, Lord. We are grateful. Thank you, Lord, for another week. Thank you for our health and life. Thank you for our family and friends, our jobs, and for warm homes. Thank you, Lord, for transportation, for all the blessings that we have. Lord, we're grateful. And Lord, we're mindful of those that are around us, in our families, in our relationships, people that have various illnesses and concerns. We want to lift them up to you, Lord. Meet each one, meet each need, Lord. Be with Rick and Jen and Alan and Jerry and Larry and Bob and Dolores for healing. For Doris and Kathy and Irene and Joe, for Ralph and Deb, for all who are sick, Lord, we pray for your healing mercies. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to allow the numbers in Frederick County to decrease. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us healthy. We ask, Lord, you might move in a mighty way in providing for our families. Lord, it is cold, and yet we're in the middle of winter. And we recognize that, and we just ask, Lord, that you would extend your hand of protection upon our homes, our physical houses, Lord, as they're heated, that they would continue to be warm, that the electricity would stay on, and there would be no fires. We just ask, Lord, for your grace in this area. Lord, we pray for those that are out of work. We pray you would help them to find work. And we thank you, Lord, for our employers and for the companies that hire us and provide in so many ways. So, Lord, we just ask that you would bless them and prosper them in the new year. God, we are mindful to pray for Israel and Jerusalem today. Thank you for this message from David Jeremiah. We ask, Lord, you might just continue to move. But thank you for our embassy there in Jerusalem. We pray a hedge of protection around it, Lord, physically. We pray for physical protection around the country. Thank you, Lord, for those that are providing service. And we ask, Lord, you would meet our needs. We thank you, Lord, for our military, for those that are away from their families, Lord. We ask you would help them to do their jobs and bring them home safely. We pray for, Lord, our police. Think of the two policemen that were shot in New York. We ask, Lord, you would help all who serve. You know, they put their lives on the line as they go out to take care of domestic calls. And we just ask, Father, you might keep a hedge of protection around them and help their families. Thank you for our firefighters. And thank you for our nurses and our doctors, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would help them if they're stressed to the max here. Their hospitals are full and so many needs and demands. Lord, we pray you would give them the extra strength, that you would bless and meet the needs. We pray for those in elected positions, Lord, our president, all down through his cabinet, and we pray for the Supreme Court and all the decisions that need to be made. Lord, would you surround these people with good counsel, counsel that's based on your word, and God, would you help them to make the right decision? It's not always easy to know what to do. And so, Lord, would you give them wisdom, help them to discern between good and bad. God, we pray for our church. We pray for pastors and for deacons. We pray for our district executive, for our denomination. Would you move in a mighty way, Lord? Help us, Lord, to turn to you, cry out to you to meet our needs. So we look to you this day as our Creator. We know that all that we have comes from you. And we give you thanks this day, Lord. Teach us to pray as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This time we'll have another hymn.
Thank you.
Amen. Our reading for today comes from Psalms 19. And also in the scriptures for today is Nehemiah 8. And there in Nehemiah 8, it said that the people had come together. It had been many years since they had a chance to hear the word of God. And they found the scriptures and they were read. And so the people gathered in a public place and they stood from morning till noon as they heard the reading of the word and they wept. And so in reference to that, I would like to invite you to stand while I read God's word. Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. It rises is from one end of heaven, and its circuit is to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, more than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them the servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Well, it's definitely winter, and the snow that we got last Sunday afternoon and evening reminds us all the beauty of winter and this season in which we're in. And as I was thinking, I remember reading a devotional, and I came across this devotional many years ago, and I always liked it, and so I want to share it with you. It's from Henry Morris. It's entitled Treasures of the Snow, based on this question in Job 38:22. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of hell? He writes, it is interesting that this book, one of the oldest in the Bible, contains most references to snow, ice, and frost than any other book of the Bible. This is despite the fact that Job's homeland was in what is now essentially a desert region. Possibly the effects of post-flood ice age were still strong in Job's day. In any case, the beautiful phrase, treasures of the snow, is both appropriate and prophetic. Its crystal structure, though mostly in the form of delicate six-pointed stars, is endless varied and always intricately symmetrical and intricately beautiful. The snow is a treasure in other ways as well. The winter snowpack in the mountains is often called white gold because of its indispensable water storage capacity. Released in the melting season each spring to provide life to teeming cities and irrigation in the desert for needed food supplies. The snow also aids in maintaining the climate of the plants' chemical cycles by returning various elements in the nuclei of its flakes back from the ocean to the lands from which they were leached and transported by rivers to the oceans. When the snowpack becomes a glacier, it can greatly assist in the breakup of rocks to form fertile soils. In the scriptures, its pure white color is often used to symbolize the cleansing of a sinful heart that trusts the Lord. Wash me, said David, and I shall be whiter than snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The Lord promises those to him who come to him for salvation. As the snow comes down from heaven, so comes the word of God to ask the soul in its text today, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Snow is very significant. And I think I remember years ago, my stepfather, who was a farmer, said that snow acted as a blanket to protect the winter wheat from freezing out. He loved to make sure that there was a good snow cover the whole time of winter because it helped to make sure that there was a bumper crop. So a good snow cover kept the ground warm and allowed the winter wheat to continue to grow. I wonder if you thought about the treasures of the snow. And so I wanted to share with you a couple of fun snow facts about snow. Did you know that the Eskimos have over 50 to 100 words for snow? Some say there are even hundreds of words for different types of snow. There are four kinds of snow crystals. Snowflakes are the simplest form, but there's also hoar frost, that it comes on the surface that's colder than the air's frost point. There's what they call grapple, which is round pellets of crystals, and then polycrystals are accumulations of many ice crystals. It's believed that snowflakes are all different. One person put this to the test in Colorado a few years ago. They said that they had two snowflakes alike, but as you know, that can be very questionable because even identical twins are different. Their fingerprints are different. And so there are thousands and billions of snowflakes in a snowbank, and each one is intricately different. Like people, God has created each one unique. Did you know that snow can roll itself? There actually is seen when the wind is over 30 miles per hour, and people call these wind snowballs or snow donuts. Some call them snow bales. And they can be seen in Canada and some parts of the Midwest. Snow is best for building snowmen when it's moist to wet. Now, there are five categories for snow based on moisture alone. Snow absorbs itself and at least absorbs sound. And if you have at least about 2 inches of snow, it'll kind of act as a sound barrier. Incidentally, it also can magnify sound. When it freezes and becomes harder, like ice, snow can bounce off of it. As we thought about climate change in our country and world, the Arctic snow cap serves as an air conditioner, and it helps to keep our planet cold. So this is why some scientists are very concerned about the melting of the glaciers. Snow isn't actually white. How about that? The flakes are translucent since they are ice crystals. And they look white to us because of the way that our eyes perceive light coming through them. And there was also an attempt to have a large snowball fight. You know, one of the fun things to do during winter is snowball fights. And in Canada, on January 31st, 2016, 7,681 people set the record for the largest snowball fight. What is funny is that there was an attempt a couple years later in New Jersey to break that record, and it was canceled because of a snowstorm. When God asked Job out of the whirlwind many questions, one of the questions was, have you entered into the treasures of the snow? And I don't know if you like winter or not, but it is something for us to think about. When I was talking to my mom on the phone, she said, I'm just sitting here looking out the window. She couldn't go anywhere, didn't have to go anywhere, and her neighbor came to plow out the driveway for her, so she just could enjoy the snow. And she said, I'm just sitting here looking out the window, watching it snow. Treasures of the snow. I guess Job didn't realize all the depth of the word snow, of all of the depth of God's creations and how explicit God's word can be. You know, God's word is rich. It is full of meaning, and I think we find treasures in it when we take the time to explore its meaning and discover that it is sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey. And so I'd like for us today to think about this hymn from David. It is a very unique hymn that talks about God's creation and God's glory. This is one of my favorite hymns, and it creates so many word pictures for us when we read it and when we hear it. And I think you might want to agree with David that this is perhaps one of the top 10 scriptures in the Psalms. The psalm is divided into two halves. The first six verses talk about the glory of God in nature, and the 7 through 14 verses talk about the wonder of God's law. There is a short catechism in Catholic theology that says man's chief end is to glorify God. Man's chief end, why are we here? Why does man live? Our chief end is to glorify God. And so think about a beautiful building that you might have seen. A grand building, beauty, honors its architect and the ones who construct it. And in the same way, we are built by God. We are made by God. And we should be ones who give God honor and glory. Glory and honor to our Maker. David begins this psalm by saying, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth his handiwork." And I don't know about you, but I think this is a wonderful time to see God's handiwork. I think nature reveals the beauty and the majesty and also the power of an omnipotent God. Creation points to a creator. How can you say there is no God if you look around you? So, do you like winter? I know some people don't. They go to Florida, right? But I love all four seasons. I think each one has a beauty of its own. And so even though we have to endure the cold temperatures, there is a unique beauty on the landscape around us. As Old Man Winter blows across, and we see some of the prettiest scenes that are created when water freezes, when snow turns everything white. I love to look out right after the snowstorm, and the snow is clinging to the trees. No one's gone through no car tracks yet, no snow piles yet. Just everything is in a blanket of white, and it is beautiful. But many artists try to capture that, often trying to picture that for us. David says here that the heavens declare God's glory. And so day and night, whether one considers the stars or the sun, we can stand in awe of the vastness of our Creator. How he's created space and has made everything so perfectly, so intricately designed, and each one of us so uniquely different. Think about the stars in the heavens, billions of them. I wondered if making stars was God's hobby. Maybe he just enjoys adding to them. Years ago, the planet Mars was in the news as NASA made a major technical advancement with landing a probe there on the surface of Mars. And unfortunately, they are motivated by evolutionary thinking. They're looking for water. They're looking for evidence that there was water on Mars. But they miss the revelation that is in the reddish rock samples that they brought back. And it is the glory of creation. Creation declares the glory of God, and it shows forth his handiwork. You know, I think when we get so busy, so stressed out, so overwhelmed by the cares of life, it's good for us to take a breather. It's good for us to just kind of take time to enjoy nature. And so I encourage you to take a walk. Maybe around the neighborhood, maybe a drive in the mountains. My folks used to always like to go for a drive on Sunday afternoons as a way to getting away from the farm. You know, when you live and work in the same place, you know, got to get away. So they would enjoy a Sunday afternoon drive, and we'd just go up and drive through the mountains and enjoy the beauty. It might be that you enjoy a vacation at the beach, but get out into nature. This is why I think Christian camping is so important. So many of our kids today miss just being out and enjoying God's wonderful creation. So we need times to be quiet. We need times to be silent. We need times just to enjoy nature, enjoy the presence of God, and appreciate God. Thomas Kincaid is one of the famous Christian artists, and he's known as the painter of light. In so many of his paintings, he's tried to capture a spot of light, how it reflects on surfaces. And he said this, he said, form the habit of quietly absorbing the natural world, gazing in awestruck wonder at the beauty that surrounds us. So as an artist tries to capture that beauty on canvas, we should take time to appreciate the beauty around us. Years ago, actually in the 6th century BC, there was a doctrine that was developed. It's called the harmony of the spheres. And it says that the planets make a noise, they make a sound in their orbits. That they, the way that God has created the world and the universe, there's actually a sound comes from that. But the music of that sound is often missed by people who are constantly involved in things where we're so busy that we don't take time to be aware of the sounds around us. I think about in the summertime, the crickets at night, or various sounds that we sometimes can just overlook. Singing of a bird chirp, or a call of an animal. The early historian and philosopher Pindley wrote that his escape was to a Roman villa in the hills of Italy to enjoy nature, and he went there to, quote, build up the pillars of the mind. So sometimes an escape to nature helps our minds to think. So we want to ask ourselves maybe a question that a modern writer says, is there anything our present world needs more than the search for silence in order that it may hear? To be silent for a few moments in order to hear. And oftentimes we need to do that to hear the still small voice of God. And so in this new year that we have, I want to encourage you to take time to stop, to look, and to listen. Stop, look, and listen to nature to appreciate again our Creator, the God of the universe. You know, it is a blessing for me to drive out of the city. I don't get to see the sunrises like I used to. On the farm, we used to have a beautiful view of the sunrise. And every morning, sometimes the sky would be completely different. I remember this one morning early, it was a winter morning, and there was a ripple effect of clouds on the whole sky. And as the sun just burst above the sunrise, it threw a rainbow of colors all across the edge of those clouds. It just kind of lit up the whole sky. It was beautiful. I stopped to admire it. I wish I could paint a picture like that. But the beauty that I enjoy now is driving out of the city to come here. Because coming across Long Mountain Road is a beautiful view of the mountains. And a couple of those houses right along there have a beautiful view. It'd be nice to live there. Because just got a kind of panoramic view of Vermont and the area, the Kentucky Mountains. We live in a very beautiful region. And I think we're very fortunate weather-wise. The mountains help to break up some of those storms, so we don't get quite the catastrophic storms that some do. But it is a wonderful place to live. And you are blessed to live here on the ridge. The second part of this hymn talks about God's law, God's word, and the wonder of God's word. And so he uses here several different words to praise God's word. And I'd like to share a couple of those with you this morning. There are basically six words here that Psalmist shares about God's word. The first one is law. He says that law, God's law is perfect. God's principles are opposite to our natural inclinations. And God's law is perfect for converting the soul. The soul is the mind, will, and emotions. And it is sufficient to live by. Remember Jesus shared with us about the law? He summed it all up in a phrase that we are to love God and to love our neighbor with all their soul and mind and strength. The second word is testimony. Testimonies are sure, making the simple wise. Not a variable thing to be changed according to circumstances. You know, it's very important in court cases that they hear testimony. Testimony of those maybe have seen the accident, those that were there and witnessed what occurred. Testimony is very important to give account to determine what took place. Statutes are the third word, and the statutes are right, rejoicing the heart. Along with statutes is precepts, a path of moral duty, which is discernible and which leads in a straight path. We often think of God's law and the word commandment. Fourth word, commandment. Commandments are pure, enlightening the eyes. They help us in so many different ways. You know, we don't keep the law in order to gain or maintain salvation, but we should apply the principles of the law to avoid sowing to the flesh and reaping corruption. Fifth word that you share here is the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It's talking about undefiled. It lasts when systems that find an excuse for anything collapse. The fear of the Lord. And then judgments. It says the judgments of God are true, righteous altogether. These are the ordinances of God, based not on fairness, but on justice and mercy. God's word refreshes and restores the soul to be in touch with reality. What is your view of the scriptures? What do you think about God's word? You know, I remember as a preteen that we had an unusually large snowstorm one year down on the farm. And our house was a pretty good distance from the barn, and so we had to shovel a path to get to the barn. And I can remember, you know, it was probably at least, you know, this deep. It was, you know, about 3 feet probably. And I remember my mom out there shoveling, we were taking turns. You know, we had to do all this work just to get to work. Do all this work to get to the barn. And we had to do it because the cows were moaning. They wanted to be milked. And so we had to shovel a path through the snow. And that same storm, it got hard on top. And so I remember it was deep enough to, we could walk on top of the fence posts. It was so deep, especially around the drifts. You know, God's word is like a fence post. It helps us. You know, we think sometimes that God's limiting our freedom, but really, they are fence posts there. They are boundary markers. God's word says, you can go this far, but don't go any further. They're fences to help us, keep us safe, not limiting our freedom. Some people see them as signposts, as kind of warning of danger. It's important for us to be in God's word. And so I hope that as the new year comes around, people make resolutions, that one of your resolutions will be renew your commitment to God's word, to read it, to study it, to memorize it, to meditate on it. We have the little verse here I give each month here. This month for January is Psalm 65:11. We can all be kind of be thinking along the same lines. But however you do it, daily devotional, read through the Bible in one year, whatever your plan, have a plan to be in God's Word. And I think if you do, that you will not only find that you understand it more, but you'll love it more, and you will live it more. Some people said the Bible reading is like breakfast. You know, there's dry cereal, and then there's sweet peaches and cream. So, you know, as we first start, sometimes it seems a little dry to us, but then we get to the sweeter parts of the Scripture. The Gaithers years ago had a song, and they said, "Sweeter as the days go by. The more I trust Him, the more I love Him. Nothing good for me He'll deny. The longer I know Him, the better I can show Him. I can't stop now if I try. It gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter. Sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. Oh, the moment He saved my His good grace He gave me, He placed His love down deep in my heart. There's great joy in knowing with Him I'm going, and never more from Him to depart. It gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter. Sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the days go by. Yet sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter as the days go by." What is your view of Scripture? How do you see it? What does God's Word mean to you? Does His law seem like a fence post to you, sometimes limiting your freedom, or is it a signpost pointing you to danger? Is God's Word valuable to you? It might not seem like worth much just laying there on the coffee table, but is it precious to you? You know, there are some people in the world who don't have a copy of God's Word, and they would give up a year's salary to get one. Is God's Word like fine gold to you? Is this book like medicine or vinegar, or is it like honey? What is God's Word like to you? The psalmist here, David, challenges us to taste and see, and if you do, I think you will find that it is sweeter than honey. You know, one of the interesting things about honey versus sugar is that sugar, we can just keep taking it in. Seems like we can't get enough. We like things that are sweet. But honey being sweet, we'll take some honey, and if we eat too much honey, it actually will help us to stop. It'll say, we got too much, we got enough. It'll give us a stopping point, whereas sugar we'll just want more and more of. Psalmist here says, taste and see, God's Word is good, and I think in every season. The glory of God in nature, and the wonder of God in His Word. In every season, winter, spring, summer, and fall. And, you know, only Jesus can make you whiter than snow. Only God's Word is sweeter than honey. Let us begin it. Let's read it, share it, enjoy it. God be the glory. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Creator God, creator of this wondrous world and winter that we enjoy, we praise You for Your glory, revealed in nature, and for the wonder of Your Word. And as David put it, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. We thank You, Lord, for the beauty of the earth and the sky, and for the changing seasons. We agree that Your law is perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, and true. And so, God, help us to appreciate Your Word more, and to allow your Holy Spirit to lead us by your commands. Cleanse us, God, of secret sins, the vain battlefield, our mind, inner spiritual pride, sins unwittingly committed. And keep us back, Lord, from presumptuous sins, willful, intentional, deliberate sins, sins that strive to make us a servant of sin, sins of association with people whose arrogance comports themselves in God's word. We pray that they may not have dominion over us. Let the words of your mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our redeemer. Bless all who hear and apply this song, and for these things we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. We'll close our service today with this hymn. I invite you to stand and sing along. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good week in the Lord.